It's your girl, Simply Sabrina. Tune in every Wednesday, 7 to 9 p.m., Baltimore Flavor Radio on Power 4.4 Radio.
Hey, this is TT Wright. Tune in every Wednesday to Respect the Mic with Ashley Ryan from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. here at Power 4.4 Radio.
Hey, this is your favorite professional life coach, Gary O'Neill here. Make sure you check out the Seat Plan Do Show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. here on Power 4.4 Radio, where the people are the power.
Fangtown, North and P Park Heights, RNG, White Lock, Cherry Hill, North of Long and Doeville, Murphy Homes, EA, Green Mount, Barkley, Walbrook, JCD, Poplar Grove, and Evie. Flag House, LT, 28th, Tavoli, Alameda, Mount Street, Emerson and Pulaski, Saratoga, Garrison, North and Duke Glen, Westport, Sedonia, Parkside, Moravia, Sand Cloud, Wolf Street, Middle Chase and Biddle Street, York Road, Precious Street, 24 Bernice Street, 21st, 20th, Bethel and Lafayette, North Bend, Catonsville, Warwick and Rosedale.
What's up, what's up, what's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday! Today was an amazing day. All right, guess what? Welcome to the Seat Plan Do Show. I'm your humble host, Gary O'Neill, professional life coach, DJ, CPR instructor. I can make a mean taco. I definitely could do that. All right, so welcome to Tuesday's episode. Here with me in the building, Tracy Allen. Hey, Tracy. And we'll be getting to her later. Guess what? So you know every Tuesday when the Ravens win, we playing all Baltimore hits. So I know if you were over 30, you were just rocking out right now. So hopefully you had an amazing Tuesday. We're definitely going to go into a really, really important show. I really, really wanted to have Tracy on because I think it's going to be an amazing, amazing show, as all my shows are, here on C Plan Do Show. All right, so let's get right in. I know you've been waiting for this. Let's get right back into your C Plan Do moment of the week. And the moment of the week is, actually, I'm going to call it a 7 for 7 because guess what? This is the 7th show on here. Brand strong. You already know. You know the vibes. So 7 for 7. 7 things that every child needs to hear. You guys ready? The first thing is, I love you. Make sure you tell your children or children that you have a relationship with. Just tell them, hey, I love you. Logan and Lauren, if you're hearing this, I love you. The next thing is, I'm proud of you. And our children need to hear that. I'm proud of you. Number 3 in the 7 for 7, 7 things every child needs to hear. I apologize. And you know what? And I had to realize that as an adult. We used to hear the, hey, do as I say, not as I do. I'm telling you to do it because I'm your parent. And guess what? Doesn't mean that we're not wrong. And if we're wrong, guess what? It's nothing wrong with telling your children I apologize, especially if you know you were wrong. The next thing is, I forgive you. Children are going to make mistakes. Adults are going to make mistakes. And so if something has happened and they apologize to you after you are not upset anymore, there's nothing wrong with sitting down and telling them, hey, I forgive you. It's not the end of the world. Number five on the seven things every child needs to hear is I'm listening. Are you listening to your children? Let's not get distracted if they're talking to you, even if it's talking to you about how the day was in school, issues and concerns that you may have come across. Let's make sure that you tell them, hey, I'm listening, and be able to reiterate back. Oh, yes, I do like Power Rangers. Yes, I do know your math was hard today. All right, the next one is this is your responsibility. Sometimes they may have huge tasks that they're responsible for. It might be something small like cleaning their room or something large like taking care of their schoolwork. But guess what? If it's something that they're responsible for, just tell them, this is your responsibility. And the last thing on the seven things that every child needs to hear is you got what it takes. I tell my children that all the time. You have what it takes. They need that from you. So, seven for seven on the seventh episode. Seven things every child needs to hear. Hey, everybody on social media, on Facebook. We looking live. Hey, Nicole. Hey, Carrie. Hey, Tiandra. Oh, we are deep. We deep today on live. They already knew. They knew Tracy was in the building. So, they said, yeah, let's get deep. All right. So, hopefully, again, you guys had an amazing Tuesday, an amazing start of the week. We're almost into the fourth quarter of the year. And guess what, guys? You hot girls out here, you have one more week. So with that being said, we jumping right into the song of the week, Hot Girl Summer. You better wrap it up. Let's get right into that song of the week.
Taming me, I love my niggas equally. Fucking 9 to 5 with that superstar beat. The superstar is hard, now I got him far late. I called a jet to get that nick. I told him, call, don't send no text. And don't you tell him you with me when they be asking where you at. I can't read your mind, gotta say that. Should I take your love, should I take that? Got a whole lot of options, cause you know a girl's hopping. I'm a high girl, so you know ain't shit is talking.
It is what it is, there's some five star. She a big gold freak, it's a must that I hit. It's a hot girl summer, so you know she got it lit. Know she got it lit. Hot girl summer, so you know she got it lit. Know she got it lit. Hot girl summer, so you know she got it lit.
Who a hot to be? Who got a lot of D? Who popping like a P when he be hopping out the V? And who gon' tell him that my bitch is getting her degree? And when we say it's hot girl summer, we ain't talking about degrees. Who won't follow me? Like who don't follow me? Cause even in your new book, I can see a lot of me. And honestly, I'm on it cause that should be comedy. You ain't put me in no brands, but I see you proud of me. I'm just a real, give a fuck about a trick. I'm some real, and we really with this. Put this on your lip, give a fuck about a dip. I get that, and then I grab my shit, and then I dip.
Here's what it is, this is five star. She a big gold freak, it's a must that I hit. It's a hot girl summer, so you know she got it lit. Know she got it lit. Hot girl summer, so you know she got it lit. Know she got it lit. Hot girl summer, so you know she got it lit.
Look, college girl, but a freak on the weekend. Eat that dick up even when I'm going vegan. He be tripping on me and I know the reason. I got a breakup with my good mind every season. Real hot girl, hey, I got one or two. Down on that brown, now we going both ways. I can't read your mind, gotta say that. Should I take your love, should I take that? Got a whole lot of options, cause you know a girl's hopping. I'm a high girl, so you know ain't shit is talking.
Girl, it is what it is, this is five star. She a big gold freak, it's a must that I hit. It's a hot girl summer, so you know she got it lit. Know she got it lit. Hot girl summer, so you know she got it lit. Know she got it lit. Summer, so you know she got it in check.
Got a whole lot, you know. Having a wedding, birthday party, or other social or corporate event, contact Greenlight Entertainment today. With our experienced DJs, quality sound, and professional service, we look to make your event the event. Check us out on the web at www.greenlightentertain.com or call us at 443-602-0648. With Greenlight Entertainment, you have the green light.
All right, so that's your song of the week by brought to you by sponsors, Greenlight Entertainment. Make sure you get with them. And guess what, ladies? You only got like less than a week. So all that hot girlness, that's dead. And you might as well start getting prepared for autumn. It's over. All right, hot guys, hot boy summer, make sure you start wrapping it up too. All right, so let's get right into our Tuesday topic. As I always tell you here on the Seed Plant Dude Show, I want to make sure we create amazing content, everything that I think that we should have, everything that I think we should talk about. So without further ado, Tuesday's topic, reclaiming hope, because we need to reclaim it. All right. And so let me formally introduce to you one of my colleagues, Tracy Allen. And Tracy is the founder and licensed clinical social worker of Reclaiming Hope, LLC, which specializes in family, group, and individual therapy. Tracy utilizes a creative approach to dealing with mental health issues in a non-traditional, outside-the-box manner. What's up, Tracy?
Hey,
I haven't seen you in a while outside of being online.
I know, right?
Right. So thank you for coming here. Thank you for sharing all of your wonderful gifts with us. So you already know I got a couple questions for you. All right. So the first question, because we're talking about reclaiming hope, and when we talk about reclaiming hope, we're talking about mental health. We want to make sure we strengthen our mental health. So I wanted to make sure I had a professional, an expert that talks about professional health here. All right. So the first question I had is, Tracy, where do you think the state of mental health is in America?
Right now, I feel like it's honestly on a decline. If I could speak for Baltimore, of itself, given the nature of trauma, poverty, just all the events even going on around the world is on a decline. With grief as well, people are struggling. The job market, people are trying to get employment, can't find jobs. Depression is the biggest thing I'd say, and anxiety. So trying to alleviate those are the biggest issues that I see right now with my population of clients, depression and anxiety, and it usually stems from grief or trauma related to socioeconomic things more than anything. When I was working with juveniles, it stemmed from grief, it stemmed from poverty, it stemmed from trauma. Just thinking recently in the news, a 16-year-old was killed right before school started.
Yes.
That means that a crisis team had to respond to that school as soon as school started. These are the things that children are dealing with daily, you know, across the city, in the schools. Each time that happens, you know, somebody has to respond. You know, that's somebody's family, that's somebody's, you know, cousin. The schools have to deal with that. So it's on a decline right now, and because mental health is so taboo, you know, people as a culture, black people particularly, you know, you don't talk about what's inside the house. You know, what happens in the house stays in the house.
Absolutely.
That's what we were taught.
Yep.
So you don't go to school and tell what happened. You don't talk to your teacher about what happened. You don't tell your neighbor what happened. You deal with it. And the problem is we aren't dealing with it. So you have all of these children who are angry because their parents are angry. And we have a whole population of people running around being angry. And what happens when you're angry? You lash out. So it's no other, you have all of this aggression and no way to channel it. So, you know, my job is to kind of help people channel their aggression.
Thank you for that. And so with that trauma, with some of those issues that are not being resolved, what are some things that people are doing? What are they turning to when you see unresolved issues that they have?
The most common, self-medicating right now, whether it's marijuana, whether it's pills, whether it's alcohol. There are a lot of young alcoholics right now. There are a lot of young heroin addicts. And when I say young heroin addicts, pills, that's heroin. It's synthetic heroin, but it's heroin. You have some 15-year-olds who are strung out on heroin because they can't get the pills. Even if it's sleeping with other people, you know, for the feel of affection, attention, they turn into all the wrong things. You know, the young ladies who don't have, aren't getting the affection that they want, they're turning towards guys. Even the same with guys, they aren't getting the affection that they want from a parental figure. They're turning to young ladies. It's the need for something. You know, they're turning to the wrong stuff. And then you have some who are focusing on books. I have a couple young ladies who are brilliant. I have one young lady who her grades, she had 395s and 2 100s on her report card. And she's a loner, you know, by herself. But that's what she turned to. She turned to her books. So it's not all, but a big population of our children and our adults are turning into the negative things instead of the positive things. You know, if they learned how to do the more positive things, what feels good, you know, maybe uncomfortable at first, but what feels good, what makes you feel good? Most people don't know what makes them feel good.
Okay. All right. So therapy, in my perspective, of course, it needs to be greatly utilized. We're not utilizing it as much as we should. It seems like it's a stigma that comes with therapy. Or counseling, what do you think is the biggest myth about therapy?
Crazy. That's the first thing people say. You're crazy. If you go to therapy, you're crazy. My thing is always, you're crazy if you don't go.
Right.
Therapy is not, okay, I'm not a prescriber. So coming to me does not mean you're going to get medication. And as you stated, I'm very non-traditional in my approaches. So I'm the person that if I have to come to you, I'm going to sit, we're going to crack sunflower seeds, and we have to drink a Pepsi, that's what we're going to do. I believe in coloring. I keep coloring books, gel pens, whatever's necessary. I'm big on visuals so that you can see. So if I give you something to do, I want you to see it. I want you to spell it out. You know, I want to write it out for you so that you can see it. It's not the book. I'm probably so far away from the book because the book bores me. So I know if it bores me, it's going to bore you. That whole crazy thing is what people, TV has done that. You know, when you see people in straight jackets and, you know, rocking in the corner and being heavily sedated, I mean, that can happen depending on, you know, what has happened, but that comes with extreme aggressive behaviors that they can't get under control. And yeah, you will get medicated, but you're going to sleep. And you know, those, there are reasons why that happens. There are precautions for that. It's a total different thing. And that's an inpatient psych. That's totally different than what happens when you come to therapy. Therapy is designed to help you develop coping skills, problem solve, to vent more than anything. We are the unbiased diary. That's it. You know, you can kind of download everything that's going on, and we kind of help you go through that.
That's amazing. All right. So in reference to your clients or people that are listening, if there's one thing you wished clients or potential clients knew about treatment or mental illness, what do you think that would be?
It's funny. We just talked about it, that it's not taboo. That it's easy, you know, it can be fun. It doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be a stigma to go along with it. And if you find somebody that's boring, you can fire them. Like, we are at your disposal. If you come to me and you don't like something I say, you don't like my approach, you don't have to stay with me. You can fire me. There are thousands and thousands of therapists. Go to the next one. Find one that works for you. Find one whose treatment modalities make you feel good and make you comfortable. You do not have to stay. Just like attorneys. If your attorney's not working for you, you get rid of that attorney.
Right.
Same with therapy. Get one that makes you comfortable, that you can learn from, and that you find beneficial for you.
Okay. All right. So I saw, I posted on the CPlanDo site asking people in the field whether they wanted to just put it in my DMs or they wanted to just sort of post. So one of the questions that came in reference to mental, any question they want to ask you, someone asked, what is the earliest age you should seek mental health counseling for a child?
The earliest age typically is 4. That's when they can start doing assessments. And typically then they're assessing for ADHD. And ADHD is probably one of the most controversial diagnoses now because most people feel like there's nothing wrong with my child. They're just a little bit busy. Mm-hmm. But there is a such thing as ADHD. There are ways to treat it. There are homeopathic ways to treat it. There's the Western medicine ways to treat it, but it all depends on what it is that you like to do. There are specialists now. University of Maryland has a whole integrative medicine clinic for people who don't want to use Western medicine. They will teach you how to treat with diet. And then there are the traditional meds that you can use. But 4 is typical because at that age, kids can kind of tell you how they feel. They can tell you, you know, what they see, what they're doing. You can watch them. At that age, their communication is a little better. So typically at 4, you know, they know good touch and bad touch. You can teach them then. You know, they can communicate. So it usually starts at 4.
Okay. All right. So 4. So what are some of the indicators? Because like you said, everyone's not just talking to themselves in the corner. Everyone's not just licking walls or doing anything that we might have saw on TV. So what would be some maybe more subtle indicators that, hey, this person may need to seek out counseling in this day and age?
So give me an example. Are you talking about an adult, a child, a teenager?
Let's go with the child first. What would be some of the characteristics that we might notice in a child that you may think, hey, you know what? Let's seek counseling for this child.
So for children and teenagers, most people are looking for depression to be sadness. Usually in teenagers and children, it manifests as anger. It can come across as sadness, but sometimes it's anger. Isolation. They don't want to go outside. They don't want to go to school. Staying in their room. Loss of interest in activities. Like if they like basketball or they like cheer or they like playing with dolls and they don't want to do that anymore. Appetite changes. They're not hungry. You know, you notice them missing meals. Tearfulness when they weren't tearful before. Aggression. Those sorts of things are indicators out of the blue. If you start asking how school and they don't want to talk about what's going on at school, that's another indicator because that could be bullying. So those sorts of things are indicators in children.
In children. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about adults?
The isolation, overeating, loss of interest, mood swings, because it depends based on the diagnosis, restlessness, panic attacks, feeling, let's say, psychosomatic issues, where you're feeling like you have a physical illness, but you may not. It could be a result of anxiety. Feeling nauseous or headaches or anything that could feel potentially like you're becoming ill, but it's anxiety.
Okay.
It kind of varies, but even with that, in adults, I always suggest having your thyroid checked. In women, having your hormone levels checked. Because sometimes it's related to, it is directly related to a physical thing. Because in women, when our hormones are wacky, sometimes that causes us to have anxiety or depression.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, you want to see your doctor or your GYN to have those things checked because it could cause us to have depression. It could cause us to have anxiety. And it could be remedied with something as simple as there's a homeopathic medicine called GABA. They have serotonin that you can take now. You can birth control. You know, it's so many remedies now other than regular St. John's wort, other than Western medicine, because a lot of people are against regular medicine now and moving more towards even the medicinal marijuana now. So it's like you can explore your options, but I would rather, you know, you go to the doctor and see what's going on first, and the doctors can do a scale. You know, most people never go to a psychiatrist first. They're like, no, and that's okay. But if your primary care physician does a test with you and it says that it's major depression or it's anxiety, please go to a psychiatrist. That's their specialty. Do not let your primary care doctor try to treat you for a psych illness. That's not their specialty. They're only going to give you medicine that they're comfortable with giving you. They do one rotation in psych, and that's it. So they're going to give you the lowest dose that they know to give. and that may not work for you. Anything outside of the realm that they're comfortable with, mm-hmm. they aren't going to give you. Go to the person that's specialized in it. Like, you wouldn't go to your primary care to treat you or help you with delivering a baby or for prostate cancer. You're going to go to the specialist.
Right.
So the same goes for psych. Okay. Go to your specialist.
Okay. That was great information. Thank you for that. So you know what I was thinking about? So a lot of my clients that I have, they go to their therapist, which is great because I let them, hey, I'm your life coach. You go to your therapist. We're going to tag team you as far as some of the things that you may come across that you discuss with your therapist. You may openly discuss with me as far as problems and solutions. You know, I think we're probably the same age. I'm not going to ask you, but I think we are. What's your favorite ice cream? Butter pecan?
No, vanilla.
Oh, she's probably a little older than me. All right. So how can we, as adults, right? So as adults that we're coming across these teenagers, I think we're generation like Xennials, something like that. Somebody said it to me today where we're like generation X, but like it was like Xennials where we're in that between that 1980 to 1987 range where we've dealt with the sort of hardships of growing up, but also we've seen technological advancements. So I remember when the internet came out, which is crazy to say to my kids that I was here when the internet came out.
Right.
How would you suggest a parent who is sort of grown up, we were latchkey kids, we were sort of very self-sufficient, we were sort of very community-based. We may look at this generation as weak at times. What advice would you give that older generation in reference to dealing with some of the things that a younger person goes with? Because we may say, wait a minute, you're dealing with this. We had to deal with X, Y, and Z. We were doing this. We were walking 10 miles in the snow. You know, what would you say to that adult in reference to dealing with children where it's a huge generation gap?
So I found that when I was supervising millennials,
mm-hmm.
that millennials are very feelings-based.
Mm.
Communication is key. Like, you can gauge a lot from millennials just by asking simple questions.
Right.
And you can get a lot from them, and even the children, by asking simple questions. How are you? How are you feeling today? They want to know you care. If they feel like you don't care, you don't get anything from them. So, you know, people always say, it's a difference in talking to me and talking at me.
Absolutely.
And most of them feel like you're talking at me. And as older adults, sometimes we have the tendency, because we feel like we're the disciplinarians or we're older, that we
right.
can say what we want.
Right.
We were taught, you know, you respect your elders.
Yeah.
Most of them were taught you respect who respects you.
Right, right. That is,
so
that is a huge difference.
So if they feel like they've been disrespected, you aren't going to get that same level of respect.
Okay.
And oftentimes they've experienced so much more than we have.
Yeah.
And their short lives, that they feel like they're adults as well. So you have to go at them a little differently with mm-hmm. the approach. Care. Show me that you care about me. Even if you don't, you need to figure out how to pretend, because you're going to get more response out of them and feedback out of them and, you know, interest out of them by caring. Hey, how was your day today? Oh, you look nice today. You know, how are you? What did you bring for lunch? You know, you're supposed to be eating healthier than that. Show mm-hmm. them that you care. My staff,
oh, that's great.
I had millennials, and most of my staff, the staff there were millennials, and they used to always say, the staff here love you. They love you. I said, because I talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm a manager doesn't mean that I can't talk to them. They're human. Like, I'm no better than them, but that's the key, caring. Like, everybody wants to feel cared for, and because people are so detached now, like, they're coming up in a time where people are detached. We grew up in a time where the village raised us.
Absolutely.
You know, people could tell us and
yes.
discipline us. The neighbors two blocks over could say stuff. Now that's not happening, so they're so far removed, but they want to feel cared for. So that's the biggest thing, making them feel cared for and embracing them and being comfortable doing that.
I remember talking to it when I first started working, I remember dealing with the youth, and he asked me to do something. I said, okay, I got you. And it was like 3 seconds after he said, you're not going to do it. And I said, well, you just asked me. I ain't even turned around yet. And so I had to realize that over the years, like they're used to being let down by adults. Mm-hmm. They have this, sometimes they may come in with this idea of how adults are, and you got to either, you're either going to confirm it or you're going to be the exception. So I had to make sure that, hey, I mean, no matter what, I kept my word, but at least, like you said, go back, make sure I care. Hey, I'm still checking in on that. This is what I'm doing. Because for that kid, and it was years ago, for him to just say immediately, you're not going to do it, somebody else had to have done that multiple times to him.
Yep.
So thank you for that. And I really, you know, I mean, we are in that generation. We're in the butter pecan, latchkey, Saturday morning cartoons. I think the worst thing I ever saw as a kid is maybe we got banked at school. I went to Northeast Middle, and I remember Hearn Run. If I see somebody from Hearn Run right now, I might strike somebody. I don't know. But I remember, like, that was probably the worst thing to happen. Nowadays, these kids, somebody might die.
I mean, you didn't curse in front of adults.
Right.
You didn't stand on a bus stop, hugged up with your boyfriend or your right. girlfriend.
Yes.
You just didn't do that out right. of fear. You know, like, even back then, kids cut school. I didn't cut school.
Me neither.
Because my father was a state employee, and you know, y'all state employees, y'all are off all the time.
She will say y'all like she just didn't.
Y'all
she
don't used to do be a state employee. Y'all don't. Y'all you're, always off.
You're right.
And see.
Okay. All right. I like how she did that.
My dad was one. I was always scared that if I cut, that he was going to see me.
Yeah.
So, but you know, you had the healthy fear of adults.
Yes.
They don't have that anymore.
You're right.
So
you're right.
Like, how do we get that back? Like, the respect is gone. Like, that changed. Like, they don't have parents are friends now.
Oh, man.
So there's a difference now. It's like you have to, that dynamic has to come back, because most of the time you say, well, I'm going to call your mother. And the kids are like, well, 443.
Right, right.
You know, they don't
what?
Care.
Oh, man. You're right. Do you think that's our fault? As an older generation, do you think that's on us? Because you got to think, when we were younger, we did have that community engagement. We did have the village. We did have the OGs. Even if you had people that might not have been doing the best, at least they would make sure you go to school. Because I remember all the drug dealers that was on my neighborhood, they would play basketball with us, but they would never do anything outside of just playing basketball with. They never try to recruit us, anything like that. But it seems as though there's not that role model. People sort of, well, hey, that's them, I'm gonna mind my own business. Do you think that that's sort of our fault at this point?
No, I feel like when drugs entered the household, that's when it changed.
Yeah.
You know, one of my clients told me that he feels like heroin took the fathers out of the home, and crack took the mothers out of the home. And I kind of agree with that.
Wow.
But even, you know, right now, you know, heroin is such a drug that adults are chasing. You know, children are raising themselves. They become parentified, taking care of the younger siblings. And then for those households where the young ladies are the parent of the house, and there's so many men in and out of the house, and they're being abused, you know, they've been molested, or they're prostituting to take care of the house, and they're young. What are you teaching them? That this is what I do. I use my body to get what I want. And they become adults who use their body to get what they want. You know, they detach from emotion. You know, I do this for what I need. You know, it doesn't feel good. So what do? I numb myself.
Right.
You know, it becomes a cycle. I don't have time to worry about how you're feeling. I have to get money so that we can eat. And it becomes a cycle over and over and over again. And you're raising children who, well, I know not to go to her to talk about anything because she's busy. So I don't need to vent. And the little boys, well, stop whining. I don't want to hear that. You
right.
know, go out there and steal from the store to go get what we need. You got to hustle to get what we need because we need these things. So he's taught early. Yeah, it's good to teach him to grind, but teach him how to grind positively. That's not what they're learning right now. So it's like when the parents backed off and the kids started raising themselves, you have a bunch of, like the crack, they would say crack babies. So those crack babies became adults.
Yep.
And they have children now who essentially were kind of fell by the wayside.
Right. And not learning all the things that we learned. Like you said, I've seen a lot, you know, me being a state employee. I think one of the weirdest things I did see was, I agree that a parent should have a rapport with that child, but not the buddy-buddy stuff that we see.
Right.
And I agree with you that, yeah, drugs played a lot of parts into some of the things that I see at work or I've seen at work, where now you're like, hey, I remember it being in an elevator and a kid was just talking to his parent just any type of way. And I was like, who's a parent here?
Yeah.
You know, so thank you for that. All right. So next question. So what should a person do Statistics say that we're very close to people who might be going through it, or people themselves. What should a person do if they feel themselves, if they feel that they may be suffering from mental illness, they feel like something is wrong, what should they do?
So I can speak to that on different levels.
Uh-huh.
So I'll start with myself.
Okay.
I'm a migraine sufferer. I was being treated with some medication before. At 100 milligrams, I was fine. When they upped my dosage to 150, it gave me severe anxiety, and I was at work. Mm-hmm. And I felt like out of my mind. I called the EAP. The EAP, most jobs, government jobs, has an EAP
mm-hmm.
or a wellness program. You can utilize that benefit. You get 4 to 6 free sessions. And after that, they can refer you out. So that's one option. At work, it's free.
Nobody knows. Utilize
it's
work.
It's confidential.
Yeah.
You can use your work benefit.
Yes.
Okay. If you don't want to use work, if you have medical assistance, that is like your gold card to any mental health provider in the city. Just about every therapist, every clinic takes medical assistance.
Okay.
You can go to your primary care doctor, ask them if they know somebody. You can get on, let's say if you have Maryland Physicians Care, you can go on their website, look up, find a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether they're a licensed clinical social worker, whether they're a psychologist, a licensed clinical, licensed certified professional counselor. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
You can find one on there.
Okay.
You have lots of options. If you have commercial insurance, you can go on your insurance company's website, even down to Kaiser. Kaiser is a little different. They do everything through their own provider.
Network.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So you need to go through Kaiser for okay. yours. But it's plenty of options. If you are a government employee, federal government employee, and you have one of those jobs where you do not want your mental health diagnosis on your universal record, and you can afford to pay out of pocket, you can do that.
Oh, okay.
It will not be on your universal record if you pay out of pocket. Do not go for without getting treatment because you're worried about it being on your record. Some therapists, myself and a lot of others, do sliding scale or will take you to pay out of pocket. So there are ways to get your treatment.
So just pretty much take advantage of the resources that's available.
Absolutely.
I to be transparent with everybody, I went to go see a therapist when I was going through my divorce. And that was honestly the best thing for me that I could have done. Because I'm like, oh, well, what can this therapist tell me? I have my degree in psychology and I have my master's in psychology. Like, what are you going to tell me that I don't already know? I got the DSMs in the cut. DSMs are the psychology books. I was like, what is he going to tell me? And I swear, like, within the second session, I was in there and I was like, I did not know that about me. And it really helped me. So, you know, let's remove that stigma that mental health is just something that should be to the white side, that we have these symptoms, that we have these issues, that we like, well, you know what? No, I'm just going to grind, or I'm just going to toughen up and be a man. It's nothing wrong with getting your mental health checked. If your arm was hurting, you would go to a doctor. If your stomach was hurting, or if your tooth was coming out, you would go to a dentist. So please, please make sure that you seek professional help and utilize those resources. Because EAP is pretty much everywhere, right? I remember looking into that. All right. Another question from the field. You got time for some questions in the field?
Sure.
All right. So Latira asked, what should someone do if their relative is having an emergency mental crisis? What should they do if they're having an emergency mental crisis?
So when you say relative, I guess it depends on how close the relative is to you.
Okay.
Because an adult, the waters kind of get sticky.
You mean if it's like someone, like if it's my parent, or what do you mean by that?
Because adults can pick and choose essentially if they want the help or not.
Okay.
So let's say it's your brother, and your brother is having a mental health crisis. And you call, let's say, the hotline, and they come out, and your brother decides that he doesn't want the help.
Right.
That's his right not
okay.
to get that help.
Okay.
But let's say the mental health crisis is bad now. He's not eating. He's staying up all night.
Mm-hmm.
He's becoming aggressive. Suicidal ideation, meaning that he's suicidal. And you're fearful that something bad is going to happen.
Right. that you feel like, hey, something's wrong. Yes. Okay.
At that point, you can go to the court and you can ask the court for an emergency petition, which will give them an emergency evaluation.
Okay.
Let the courts know what is going on, because at that point, it has to be a danger to self or others. But you have to prove that it's a danger to self or others. It can't be just because they're talking to themselves. So what? That's not a danger to self or others. Like, it has to be a significant reason, a danger to self. What are they doing that's a danger to themselves? What are they doing that's a danger to other people? You have to prove that in order to get that evaluation, because otherwise, nobody's going to help.
Okay.
The courts will say no. The Baltimore Crisis Response will say no. So, you know, they'll come out. You can call. They'll come out. They'll assess. That's the first thing you can do. It's called Baltimore Crisis Response. They'll come out. They'll assess the situation. And if they feel like it's bad enough, they can emergency to petition the person themselves right then and there. But if it's not bad enough, they'll leave. And if you still feel like you need assistance, then you can go and try to get the petition to get some more help yourself.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you for that. All right. So, and again, we're talking with this episode, episode 7, Reclaiming Hope with Tracy Allen. How should a person treat a family member who is diagnosed? They already have been diagnosed. It's not an emergency situation. They may have some type of mental illness. How should the parent, loved one, spouse, how should they treat the person who is diagnosed?
Just like you treat anybody else.
Okay.
So prime example, I had an uncle who was schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
And he and my mom would always clash because, like, his baseline wasn't stable, but it was his baseline.
Okay.
So he knew what he was talking about, but he wasn't clear. But that was his baseline. And one of the things that my mother would always say to him was, did you take your medicine? And that would drive him nuts, like, and they would argue. And I used to say, Mom, stop asking him that. Like, just let him talk. If he's going to talk, just let him talk. Like, he wanted to be treated normally. And for her, it was a matter of making sure that he was safe, because him not taking his medicine, he wasn't safe.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the worst thing you can do is ask, did you take your medicine?
Because it sounds like if you say that, then we're just disregarding them as a person.
Yeah, and you're you're not trusting me to do it on my own.
Right, right.
Normally, treat them normally.
Okay, like, so treat them normally.
You want to be normal. That's the one thing about me. I always say when I do my work, I lead with love. No matter what's going on, mm-hmm. I lead with love. I treat everybody like they're my family. They're no different. It's like, would you treat somebody different if they had cancer? Would you treat somebody different if they were an amputee? Like, if it was a medical issue, does it make a difference? So it doesn't make a difference. Just because someone's depressed or schizophrenic or bipolar, treat them the same.
Okay.
The only way you need to be more leery is if they are dangerous. And then that's when you call for help.
Okay. And one of the resources that you talked about was the Baltimore Crisis
Response.
Okay. All right. We'll make sure we get that number, right? You know the number off top?
I do not.
Okay.
But I can get it.
When we go to a commercial break. Well, we're not going to a commercial break, but we'll make sure we post that on the C-Plan Do website. I mean, on the C-Plan Do page, as well as Power 4.4 page. We'll make sure we get that number to people. So just treat people normally.
Yes.
Instead of just disregarding them, hey, have you taken your meds?
Yes.
All right. You've really brought it today, and I really wanted to thank you. I know that on this platform, I want to have fun stuff, but I also want stuff that we really don't talk about. And I don't think that we talk about mental health enough outside of, oh, you know he crazy, right? Oh, you know she crazy. And or someone saying, hey, you know I'm bipolar. And you'd be like, okay, like that's not cute to say that. And we allow certain behaviors. Unfortunately, some people, because they sort of keep believing that narrative, and it might be true, but they subscribe to it, and now they do something. I've seen people get hurt because they say, oh, you know, that person's crazy. So that person starts believing that they're crazy, and then they start doing crazy stuff. Then we start calling them crazy because he's doing crazy stuff. It's just a revolving door, just a cycle of what's going on. So I really wanted to thank you for showing up here and talking about it. The Baltimore Crisis Response Hotline. Hey, we got the number. It's available 24 hours. So you want to give them that number on the Baltimore Crisis Response Hotline?
That number is 410-433-5175. There is a hotline in every county.
Okay.
So if you are in Baltimore County, Harford County, Howard County, there's a response team in every county.
Okay. But so that is the just find out. So that's the one in Baltimore City. So if you feel like, hey, it might be issues in your area, please make sure you find out the information. And what I'll do is tomorrow I will post every place, all of the surrounding areas. What's one last thing that you just want to leave with people who are listening, the millions and millions of people who are listening right now? What's something that you want to leave with them in reference to reclaiming hope?
The one thing I want to say is don't hide who you are. If you are depressed, if you are bipolar, if you have anxiety, don't hide it. Own it. There's so much healing and transparency. You don't have to broadcast it to everybody, but sharing your truth is going to help heal somebody else, and it's going to heal you as well. Oftentimes you fear being judged because of what you have, but when you say it, you help encourage somebody else to get the help and to get somebody else out of the hole that they're in because they feel like it's only them. Mental health does not, it's not a one person thing. It's not just you. For me, I enjoy this work. I get up every day and do it, you know, because it drives me. There are days that I don't want to get up and do anything, that I don't feel like it because I'm tired, but my clients make my day every day. It's the smallest things that they do or say that, you know, keep me going. There's not enough money in the world to do this work. Nothing could make me, you know, you have to do so much work in this field to make an astronomical amount of money. I do it because I genuinely love it. Reclaiming hope speaks for itself. I'm here to help the hopeless. When you get to a point where you feel like there's nothing left, let me help you get to where you want to be. To reach me, I am at www.reclaiminghopellc.com. You can book an appointment through that website. You can ask questions through that website. My number is on that website. I am very accessible. That same website, link Reclaiming Hope LLC is on Instagram and Facebook.
And they drop amazing content every day.
Yes.
Talking about depression, anxiety. Please make sure that you follow Reclaiming Hope on all social media platforms. And can you give them your website just one more time so that way they can contact you tomorrow?
It's www.reclaiminghope.com. LLC.com.
You've been absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
I already knew that. All right. So that was an amazing episode on Reclaiming Hope. We can reclaim hope. I absolutely believe it. So when I saw that, I asked Tracy, she was one of the first five people, yes, to start, that I reached out to because I wanted her to be on the show. It wasn't just going to be fun and games. We weren't going to talk about the Ravens, even though, you know, the Ravens are 2-0. Steelers fans, knock, knock, who's there? 0-2. All right. So guess what? Make sure you reach out to Tracy at Reclaiming Hope. That's our time for the evening. Look at that. This was really a great show. Thank you so much for being a part of this. All right. So, again, I want to officially thank Tracy for being here. You can always check out the C Plan Do Show. Each and every Tuesday, Tune In Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, Turn Up Tuesday. You already know the vibes here. All right. Right here on Power 4.4 Radio, where the people are the power. Follow the C Plan Do Show on Facebook. Oh, I'm on Twitter now. I'm out here on Twitter and Instagram. You can see me and this luxurious beard right in 1080p. All right. Check out the website. Plenty of amazing, awesome additional content. If you have a question for the show, if you have an idea for a show, please hit me up. You want to be a guest? You have some, you want to figure out what the sponsorship packages are? You see, Greenlight Entertainment is already a sponsor. All right. Today's show is sponsored by G10 Entertainment, located at 2135 Edmondson Avenue. So guess what? Be down there. It's a great place, too. G10 Monday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. for happy hour to get a drink specials, crabs, and a fish fry. Make sure you get down there. Make sure you tell them 4.4 sent you. I'll be in the building. If I see you like I was the last time, shots on me. Well, one shot. Shot. Guess what? So make sure you hit me up on the C Plan Do Show on the page on social media. Guess what? Tune in next week. I had to bring one of my friends back. We had to wrap up the hot boy, hot girl summer. Tune in next week as Brittany Anderson is back in the building. And guess what? She's going to be by herself. And we're going to talk about platonic relationships. Me and her have been friends for years. So I thought that was going to be a great show to talk about. So make sure you tune in every Tuesday here at Powerful 4.4 Radio. Guess what? Thank you. You could be listening to any other station. You could be doing something else. But thank you for tuning in. All right? Until we talk again, until we meet again, until I see you again, always remember to see, plan, and do. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you reclaim hope. Make sure you check out Tracy. And as always, good night. Go Ravens.